Hey, everybody, Brian Murphy here, and you can make your money work harder for you with Provident Credit Union's Pick a Term Certificate. For a limited time, you can select a term of either 3, 6, or 9 months and earn an impressive 4.75% annual percentage yield, or earn 4.50% with a 12-month term. Yes, up to 4.75%. It's the perfect opportunity to achieve your short-term savings goals while enjoying a high dividend rate. With Provident's Pick a Term Certificate, you have the flexibility to choose the term that suits you best. So whatever you're saving for, Provident has you covered. Visit providentcu.org or swing by a branch for more details. And if you're in the Oakland area, there's a new location at Temescal Plaza. Don't wait. Secure your financial future today. This rate is effective as of March 26th, 2024. Minimum balance required of $10,000. Early withdrawal penalties may apply. Federally insured by the NCUA. For additional information, please visit providentcu.org.
There are two godfathers. One is named Vito Corleone, born Vito Andalucci, don't you know, Paulie, but changed at Ellis Island when they just looked at his papers and saw his hometown, Sicily.
Corleone.
And the other one is Martin D. Lurie, child of the Miami, Florida streets, who, this is the story on Marty Lurie.
Give it to me.
Guy was a very successful criminal defense attorney who engaged in intellectual warfare with the likes of my brother, who was a prosecutor for the Alameda County District Attorney.
Yeah.
And my brother would tell me, he goes, hey, there's a guy I play, he wound up playing softball with him. He said, the guy on my softball team who reads your stuff in the your baseball writing, he said, you should meet him sometimes. His name's Marty Lurie. And thus began, I then got the A's beat, walked into the A's beat, saw Miguel Tejada walking around with a T-shirt that said, Talking Baseball with Marty Lurie,
that
he had torn off into a half shirt to show his
showing
abs.
Off his abs, yeah, yeah.
And thus began the launch of Marty Lurie, baseball radio voice.
There he is.
Par excellence,
yeah,
extraordinaire.
Man.
That is being capped with his induction into the Bay Area Radio Hall of Fame.
Listen.
So we wanted to have a segment on the Murph and Mac Show to pay tribute to that career. What a career, Marty. From the courtroom to the hall. Good morning, Marty.
Hey, Marty.
Very good. I love it. Great remembrance, Murph. Very good. Paulie, great to be with you.
Hey, congrats to you, Marty, on the Hall of Fame. That's fantastic.
It's wild. It really is. You know, it's funny when Jeremiah sent me a text on Monday and said congratulations. And I thought, well, it's nice to be nominated, you know, because I looked at the list and Murph is on there and Tom Tolbert and Tim Roy and Sam Skinner. And said, what am I doing here? And then to find out that actually I was elected was a tremendous thrill. It really is a tremendous thrill because it brought out everybody in the community, the radio community, the listeners. And it has been 25 years I've been doing this.
Wow.
And really, I couldn't be prouder of it or more honored by it. And I really mean that.
Good.
And Marty, just to give people a sense, most Cambier listeners just know you as the guy who ushered in the 2010 World Series. You know, I mean, it was an incredible moment in time that you were the guy doing endless radio during the greatest year in Giants history. But to bring us back to the start, and I do think people need to know this, a lot of people don't know it, that you were a criminal defense attorney and you were living in a high pressure world, dealing with some interesting characters, but there was something gnawing at you that said, this is not for me. Take us back, Marty, to the transition from the courtroom to the microphone.
Yeah.
'Cause that's a leap. You know, didn't have to work out, you know.
Yeah, look, it was one of the toughest jobs you could ever have in the world, being a criminal trial defense lawyer. And I just feel so strongly for the people that are still doing it. And I got to a point that it just it wasn't bouncing back. And I had done 100 homicide cases, 3 capital cases beginning to end, and 1,000 drunk drivings and all that. And just got to a point I said, boy, this I just can't do this anymore. And people said, well, you know, I went to the A's games with a good friend and I'd sit in the family section during that summer when I stopped practicing. And people said, God, you like baseball so much, you should do a show on the radio. I said, what? You know, I've never been on the radio in my life.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm just a kid from Brooklyn talking ball, basically sitting in the stands,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
with Eckersley's family and Ron Darling's family and people like that. So one thing led to another, and I went to this little radio station, KECG in El Cerrito, 88.1 FM.
Wow, 88.1.
Right.
I love it.
And it was a teaching radio station, which was connected to El Cerrito High. And my son Evan, of course, played ball at El Cerrito High.
Nice.
So I went over there and said to the teacher, Philip Morgan, who's a great guy, who's the uncle of Reagan Upshaw. And I said, Phil, I'd like to try a radio show. And he said, sure, come on in at 10 o'clock. There's no students here. We take KLON from Long Beach. We play jazz all day. And you can take a shot for a half hour. So I said, wow.
Okay.
All right. So I went in January of 96. And I went in with lists and books and things. I figured I'd have to read stuff on the air because there's no commercials.
Yeah.
And I'd never been on the air before. You know, the red light comes on and you got to go. So I started talking about baseball and how I grew up with baseball and how baseball is my unconditional friend. And I had played softball with Murph's brother and Tim Reardon and so many different people in San Francisco for years. And all of a sudden the half hour went by and I said, boy, that was fun. And it was kind of like being in court again. You know, you just had to start talking. And then I realized I was a lawyer and I could talk forever about nothing. And I felt, okay, maybe I can do this. And I said, well, I could be ESPN Radio, and I'll get credentialed from the A's and the Giants and all these places, and had my little tape recorder, and I'd go around and interview people and then come back to KCG and play the interviews. And that's how the whole thing started. It was 5 watts, and I'd say, you know, I could go outside and yell further than the station would go. And that's how it started, and, of course, got to the ballpark and met Howard, Brian, and Murph, and Susan, and Mark Saxon, and Frank Blackman.
Gary Washburn.
Ron Bergman and
Did
Wash.
You overlap with Pedro? Pedro
Absolutely
Gomez?
Absolutely with Pedro and Mark Gonzalez. And all of a sudden, I'm doing these shows, and I'm going back to KCG and playing them, having all you guys on the air.
Used to go on with Marty, Pauly.
Yeah, and nice. I think Murph, I could be wrong, but I think I had you on the air first before you did
any
radio.
You were the first guest. You were Marty's first guest.
I think that's correct.
Yeah, before you did any radio.
That's great trivia right there.
Yeah. I think so.
No, it really is. Who was Marty's first on-air guest? The man to my right, Brian Murphy.
No, I wasn't his first guest, but he's saying before I did KMBR.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Absolutely. Murph would come on, and we would talk ball all the time. And I still say I'm talking ball because that's what the way Murph always explained it.
Do you still have the talking ball shirts that Tejada was wearing, Marty? You got any more of those?
Absolutely. I got some in the garage. In fact, I just made some new shirts up that I got to bring up to the Bay Area.
Well, what people need to know is, like, Marty, you know, I always think, you know, everybody, it's so funny. I just try to tell you. It's like, Paul, it's like knowing a band before it gets big.
No
like,
question.
Like,
yeah.
So then Marty would do the shows with Tom Candiotti at Fenton's out in Walnut Creek.
Wow.
Okay. And that's the Marty
Krogan's.
I knew. Like, oh, was it Krogan's? I think you guys did
Krogan's
Fenton's.
Krogan's in Montclair, and then I did the pregames from Fenton's.
Oh, you did do Fenton's. Okay, yeah.
Piedmont
Avenue. Yeah, yeah. Gosh, so great. So you and Candiotti and all that,
that's
and Krogan's and Fenton's and all that. But I used to think, this is the Marty I know. And what I really liked was you would go, and your knowledge of baseball was such that when visiting teams came to town, Marty would do something that nobody does, which is he'd scour their coaching staff and see that every team that rolls into town, especially 20, 25 years ago, had kind of a legend somewhere on their staff, like a bench coach or a pitching coach or a hitting coach. Like, I want to say, Marty, did you interview, like, a Red Shandist? Like, somebody like
Red
that?
Red Shandist? Absolutely.
Yeah,
Johnny Pesky.
Yeah,
Jay Alvis and I did some together.
These are legends of
Tom
the game.
Kelly.
These are legends of the game who are just kind of coming through with maybe the Indians or the Twins or the Red Sox. And you wouldn't go get, like, the star player, not Nomar Garciaparra. You'd go get Johnny Pesky. And you guys would do these long interviews that were basically like historical documents.
Yeah, Johnny Antonelli.
So that's what I want to say. Like, that's when I would say, like, hey, Marty, this guy, you're like an archivist. Almost like Cooperstown should have some of those.
Well, they do. You know, I did a show called Memories of the Game, which is what you're talking about.
Memories of the Game.
Take those 3 to 4 minutes from the interview and make it part of one of their favorite memories of the game. And I did, Murph, I did about 1,800 of them. And
1,800
probably because I did one every game. I was on every day before
and
the
you
A's
would,
game.
You would find these guys who just had some baseball historical significance, and talk to them.
Yep, and I donated probably about 300 or 400 to the library, the oral library of Cooperstown. I've got a letter, you know, thanking me for it and all that. So, yeah, I did that. But I've got probably 10,000 interviews archived. And this weekend, a good example of it is this weekend, the broadcasters get the Fort C. Frick Award at Cooperstown. They're going to do it on Sunday. So Al Michaels is going in. And the Hawk, Ken Harrelson. Well, I told Raph, I said, Raph, we've got hours with Ken Harrelson because he's one of the great storytellers. And we went back and found something from 2010 where Harrelson talked about his whole broadcast career, how he got into it, and we'll play it on Saturday.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
To honor the Hawk.
Well,
so it was an incredible ride. Yes, I interviewed everybody. In fact, Don Zimmer gave me one of the great compliments because he said, you know, you remind me of Howard Cosell.
Wow.
You know, you sit in the dugout here with this Marantz tape recorder.
Hey, man.
And you interview everybody, and that's what Cosell used to do.
What a character Zimmer was, too, Marty.
Yeah.
He didn't even have a metal plate in his head, and fought in the war. And that guy played in he played on the Dodgers in the 50s, was that?
Yeah, he did. Brooklyn Dodgers, yeah.
And Pee Wee Reese was ahead of him. He never could, you know, break through, but he used to get hit in the head all the time.
Yeah.
But so Zimmer was a coach. Frank Howard was a coach.
Oh,
with Tampa
who wants
Bay.
A P-Rod? Oh, man. Marty, yeah. I love it. It's bringing me back to the days with Howard and Susan, and Marty was just running the show. And then here we are now, and then there's a whole other audience that knows you as the Giants guy. This is the last 10, 11 years. And Marty, just the fact that in sometimes careers you have to have luck, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you jumped right when the Giants won the World Series created a tremendous opportunity for your career, you know?
Well, you know, in 2009, of course, remember I did Cal basketball. I did the post-game show, Bear Talk, for years.
Bear Talk.
And Larry Bear.
Shout out Eddie Javius.
Oh,
yeah.
Bear Talk.
Yeah, right.
Come on, I did Bear Talk with Lou Campanelli and Ben Braun and all that stuff, Todd Bozeman. And, So Larry Bear, of course, a Cal guy, heard me on Bear Talk. And then he would listen to the shows, you know, my pregames. He would hear them. So in 2009, around August, he said to me, hey, are you a free agent? I said, absolutely. All this is me. I buy the time. I sell the time. It's today.
Yeah.
I'm not employed by KNBR or the Giants. Mm-hmm. And he says, are you a free agent? I said, absolutely. And he said, would you like to come over to KNBR and do part of our pregame and part of our postgame? We want to expand the coverage because we got people driving in from all over Northern California and the West. And I said, well, where do I sign up? I said, absolutely, I'm a free agent. So they brought me over, and I did an hour of a pregame and an hour of a postgame, and all of a sudden, things started taking off, and the team started, and I realized they could win. It was July. I said, you know something? They can win this. They've got the pitching and Lincecum and et cetera. And these postgame shows started going 5 hours, and the pregame went for 2 to 3 hours. And that's how the whole thing started in 2010. But Larry brought me over, and Lee made it happen, Lee Hammer. And Lee Hammer didn't say no. Lee Hammer said yes.
Your fellow Hall of Famer, Lee
your
Hammer,
fellow
by the way.
Hall of Famer.
By the way, Paulie, just digression here for Marty to hear. Paulie has always said that Larry Bear is a 100% gangster.
Well, I'm pretty convinced
and
of it.
Paulie,
yeah.
Now do you know the reason why Marty has entertained 50,000 watts for a decade plus and is going to the Hall? Larry Bear.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised at all. No, he pulls the strings. He's actually, Marty, you're the godfather. What does that make Larry?
He might be the godfather's godfather.
He's the godfather's godfather. That's it.
That's right.
That's it.
Larry is in Sicily.
If you look at that front office through the years, guys who have come and gone, there's one guy still there. You know what I mean?
No, he goes back. Look, he's Giants all the way. He goes back to the 80s, and he put the thing together with Peter McGowan.
Yeah, and then, you know, Newcomb came along, and next thing you know, Larry's still standing.
Yeah,
you know
I don't see Newcomb no more.
Larry
still got his office,
Larry has the heart for the Giants. Yeah. Mario is the same way, Mario Alioto.
Oh, yeah, for
These are very special people who understand. But Peter McGowan did as well and created the ballpark.
Well, you know what about McGowan? I mean, he wasn't perfect, and, you know, he and Dusty could have had a better relationship. But Hank Greenwald, and he and Hank Greenwald didn't have a great relationship, right? But Hank Greenwald said in his book, he said, no matter whatever disputes I had with Giants ownership, he said, there should legitimately be a statue of Peter McGowan outside that park.
I agree 1,000%. And look, and we should acknowledge Bob Lurie.
Oh.
You know, the team was gone. but for Bob Lurie stepping up and saving the team in the 70s. And
Marty, why don't you and I use that opportunity right now to do what Mario would want us to do? Did you know there's a book signing we were supposed to plug? This is like a perfect Murph Marty moment here because you and I both love Mario. And there is a book out called The Giants and Their City. And it's about specifically the Bob Lurie ownership.
Wow.
From 1976.
Oh, okay. This is the Lincoln Mitchell book.
Yeah. Exactly. And so he wants, Mario was saying, if you could give it a little hit. So what it is, it's a book about the Giants from Lurie's years, 76 to 92, Paulie.
No, that was big.
And it's going to be tomorrow at the Dugout Store from 2:30 to 4, the author, Lincoln Mitchell, who's been, on your show, Marty, right?
Yeah, we've had him on a couple of times. Lincoln is terrific.
The great Dave Gervecki is going to be with him. They'll be signing books at the Dugout Store. So Giants fans who are listening right now, you're going to the ball game, even if you're not, you can read the story about how Lurie saved the team. And then all the Lurie years, you know, through the Roger Craig Humbaby years. Tomorrow, 2:30 to 4, and get the book, The Giants and Their City. So there you go, Marty. Mario asked you and me to do it. We just did it.
Absolutely. Now, Lincoln Mitchell's been on a couple of times, and the book is so well-researched. And we forget about those years and what it was like, what the team was like in the 78 season, the 82 season.
That's the,
and then bringing Al Rosen in and Roger. Oh, it's an excellent book. It really is.
Paulie and I, see, people don't understand. Like the Giants, when the Giants are thought of as a glamour franchise,
laugh.
And I say, what do you mean glamour franchise? There are 4,100 of us out of the Expos
Giants
game.
Night,
man.
Yeah.
There's no glamour there.
I got Dave Winfield in 77, Marty. There was not a lot of Giant fans out there.
There's no underestimating. When Bob Lurie hired Al Rosen and Roger Craig, that still remains a seminal moment in franchise history. They've really been winners ever since.
That changed everything.
Yeah.
And Al Rosen, a brilliant man, You know, played till he was 32 years old. He did things as a third baseman that were fabulous. Should have been a Hall of Famer, but his back got hurt. He got in an auto accident. His career got cut short. But then became part of the Yankees and George Steinbrenner and basically told George Steinbrenner to get lost and went to Houston and became a Giant. And he was so smart, such a smart man, and he knew to bring Roger Craig with him, and things turned around.
What a
player.
By the way, served in the Navy in World War II and just everything.
Oh, tough.
And looking at a picture of
Jewish
him.
Jewish kid from, he grew up in Miami. You know, I was in Miami
Beach.
He's you, Marty. He grew up in Miami. He's a tough guy, Al Rosen.
He's you with muscles and quick wrists. That's
what he
is. Hey, by the way, let me ask you, did you, and I'm embarrassed to say this, because, but I haven't listened to every minute of every show you've ever done. Did you have interviews with Dick Tidrow?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I would sit, you know, the best part of spring training was, you know, and you know this, Murph, you know, in the dugout. Sitting around, and Sabian Bryan would come down, and Lee Elder would come down, and Dick Tidrow would be there, and Joey Amalfitano and Felipe, and the stories would just start. And Dick Tidrow had the the dry sense of humor, but he had the Yankee stories of Thurman Munson in the 70s, and what a brilliant man, and just a nice man. And he listened to the shows, and he would tell me from time to time, hey, you said this or you said that, and for me it was an honor that he would even think to listen to the pregame shows.
That's awesome.
I loved him.
I know we got to go. We're way over late. But, of course, no re-intro needed. Everybody knows it's Marty Lurie. We're congratulating him on the Hall of Fame, the Bay Area Raider Hall of Fame. But just, you know, just to show that the value still goes through 2021, if I try to catch, and I don't get to catch them all, but when I do catch your Sunday mornings with Ron Wotus, that's baseball.
Come on,
That's baseball. We need to shout out Woe because he's...
He had a big moment last night, too, sending Yaz and then stopping Yaz like on a dime like
you
that.
You just need to
shout
him out.
Stopping Flores? You know, that run didn't mean anything at that point, on Solano's double, which I can't believe. Bellinger is one of the great center fielders, and for a ball to land in the ballpark and him not to get it...
Yep. He's in a tough way right now.
You know, Willie always said, if it's in the park, I'll get it. You know, don't worry.
That's a whole other story is about your friendship with Willie that I watched develop through the spring training years, but
come on.
I know we got to go.
The kid from Brooklyn. I know. The kid from Brooklyn turns out to be Willie Mays' interviewer.
Yeah.
I mean, what a story. It's been quite a ride.
Hey, just to kind of forward tease this weekend, I'd love to hear you talk to Ron about Thursday night, about the play, the Taylor-Noisy play, about the check swing, about the secondary lead from Vossler, about the Bellinger non. I'd love to hear Woe break down that game, so I'll look forward to that.
No, absolutely. You know, there isn't a segment in the country with an active coach like Woe And I did it with Flan. Flan was my philosopher every 2 weeks, and Flan could do this kind of stuff. But there isn't a segment in the country where an active coach breaks down the game like Woe does on Sunday morning. There just isn't.
I agree. And by the way, it was so great to see Tim Flannery at Dodger Stadium last night.
Wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
Oh, so great.
I texted him, and he said they're giving me amazing treatment.
He looks phenomenal, too. He really does.
And that picture
of him. Happy to see him there and know what he had gone through. He was almost gone.
Yeah, he was almost gone.
And, you know, Flann is the best. And, you know, every Friday, you know, every Friday at home Friday, I used to have this segment, The Philosophy of Baseball. And Flan was my first one, and I'd have him on and every 2 weeks. And then Javi Lopez and George Contos and Phil Nevin. And, you know, we went through so many.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Flan, I love him.
Yeah,
Flan is very special.
We could do this for the next 4 hours, but we got to go. So you do.
Well, Murph, you know what it is? Yeah. It's talking ball.
Yeah, there you go. Mic drop, Marty.
I'll never forget 1 August when I explained to you what the rest of the season was going to look like.
That's right. Yeah.
I'll never forget that. And
I'll never forget. I was about a personal story when I had a big career opportunity in Boston, but I had to be. I presented it to Marty over a dinner, and he thought for a long time.
What did he say?
Well, he gave me advice, and
did he say stay or go?
Well, no.
That's all I need to know.
He told me I had to tell Glenn Schwartz that I had to go to Boston for the interview, even though Glenn Schwartz was. That's a long story.
Okay.
But the point is that Marty listened.
Yeah.
Kind of put his hands together.
That's all you need to say.
It was me, you, and Lowell. Who was that for? We were eating at a restaurant in Scottsdale. Anyway, you just listened and you gave advice. Because, it was just a great moment.
What the Godfather does.
Nice, Marty. That's
Godfather
all.
Does.
Marty,
that's
on
all.
That note, congratulations. This we'll listen it. To you this weekend. All right, buddy?
All right, Murph. Various. I love you guys.
Love
Thank you,
Marty.
You so much.
Love you, buddy.
Thank
You've been
you.
Had
See
a
you,
great,
Marty.
Great run.
Congrats.
Keep going. Keep going.
Congrats,
Thank
man.
You. Long
Thank
may you run, said Neil Young
By
to
the way,
his
there
car.
He goes. Marty's car is pulling away right now.
On KMBR 104.5 and 680, the Sports Leader.
Hey, everybody. Brian Murphy here. And you can make your money work harder for you with Provident Credit Union's Pick a Term Certificate. For a limited time, you can select a term of either 3, 6, or 9 months and earn an impressive 4.75% annual percentage yield or earn 4.50% with a 12-month term. Yes, up to 4.75%. It's the perfect opportunity to achieve your short-term savings goals while enjoying a high dividend rate. With Provident's Pick a Term Certificate, you have the flexibility to choose the term that suits you best. So whatever you're saving for, Provident has you covered. Visit providentcu.org or swing by a branch for more details. And if you're in the Oakland area, there's a new location at Temescal Plaza. Don't wait. Secure your financial future today. This rate is effective as of March 26th, 2024. Minimum balance required of $10,000. Early withdrawal penalties may apply. Federally insured by the NCUA. For additional information, please visit providentcu.org.